Let's turn in our Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read the entire chapter this morning, and this is in connection with Lord's Day 33 of the Heidelberg Catechism on true conversion. The Word of God at Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We read the inspired Scriptures that far. As I said, it's on the basis of this passage And in accordance with all of God's Word, that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 33. Questions and answers 88 through 91. Question 88 asks, of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consist? Of two parts, of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. What is the mortification of the old man? It is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins and more to hate and flee from them. Question 90, what is the quickening of the new man? It is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. And then question 91, but what are good works? Only those which proceed from a true faith are performed according to the law of God and to His glory, and not such as are founded on the imaginations or institutions of men. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's unfortunate that the word that we're going to use throughout the entire sermon this morning, conversion, often is used, I wouldn't say necessarily in a wrong, but at the very least, an incomplete sense. Outside of the church, and for many in the church, when we think about the word conversion, the first thing that comes to our mind is this past, often dramatic, one-time experience of turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Now, I'm not saying that those conversion experiences are not in some way genuine. They very well may be, and oftentimes are. Just think of, for example, the Apostle Paul and his conversion on the Damascus Road. But it's not the case that the Heidelberg Catechism and the Reformed faith teach that to be the main idea of conversion, this one-time past dramatic event in which you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Part of the purpose of the sermon this morning is that we might change, if that is our default setting, with respect to what conversion is, that it's not that one-time dramatic turning to Jesus Christ in faith, but it is what the Heidelberg Catechism makes clear in Lord's Day 33. When we think about conversion, our minds must not go to somebody else at some time in their life in the past. But when we think of conversion, our minds must go to ourselves every single day. That's why the title of the sermon this morning is Daily Conversion. The purpose of that is to emphasize that this activity that we read of in Lord's Day 33 is something that we must do every single day of our lives. Fundamentally, the idea of conversion is to turn from sin and to turn to God. And that, people of God, is something that does not happen one time in our lives in the past, but that's something that happens every single day. And so the Lord willing, through the sermon this morning, talking about this whole matter of conversion, when we walk out of those doors this morning, we'll be filled with zeal to go forth doing what Lord's Day 33 says, mortifying the old man in us and quickening the new man. Let's look at the truth of conversion this morning under that theme, daily conversion. We notice 3 points. In the first place, the meaning. In the second place, I have in the bulletin the manner, but really another way to put it is the power. What's the power of this daily conversion? And then in the last place, the reason. Daily conversion, the meaning, the power, and the reason. As I said a moment ago in the introduction, the fundamental idea of the truth of conversion is to turn. There are a couple of words in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament that refer to this idea of conversion. And what they all have in common is that main idea, the idea of turning. Lord's Day 33 doesn't really give a definition of what conversion is, but it gives us how we go about doing it. It gives us the next step after what it actually is. What conversion is, very simply, is the daily activity of turning away from sin and turning to God. Now, the Catechism says how we do that. This is how we turn away from sin. We mortify the old man. And it talks about what that means. And this is how we turn to God. We quicken the new man. And the Catechism explains what that means. But at the outset, we see very simply that the basic idea of conversion is a daily turning from sin and to God. There's a certain necessity of this conversion, and the necessity has to do with who we are as Christians and what we have as Christians. This activity of turning from sin and to God must take place in us because there is in us both the old man of sin and the new man in Christ. Daily conversion is very real for us only because we have both this old man and this new man. It's this old man in us that leads us to sin, always prone towards sin, and therefore because of that old man we must turn from that and go to God. And it's the new man in us that leads us to see that we're going in the way of sin. And it's the new man in us that gives us the ability to turn to God. The reason that we go forth doing what Lord's Day 33 says is exactly because of who we are as Christians. Those who have this old man, this flesh, as well as the new man of Christ. The emphasis this morning will be on mortifying that old man and quickening that new man. But let's say just a couple of things about what that old man and what that new man is. The old man of sin in us, very simply, is everything that we received from our parents. We know that we were conceived and that we were born in sin. Everything we got from our parents, our sinful flesh, our human nature, that part of us that can only sin. When we were brought forth in sin, everything we did, everything we could do was sin, contrary to God and His Word. That's the old man, as it's described in Ephesians 4, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. And then it says this, which is corrupt. That's the old man, thoroughly corrupt in everything it does, prone towards sin and actually does sin. The new man, in contrast, is everything that we receive from God. Whereas the old man, everything comes from our parents, the new man is what we have in us from God. The new man is Jesus Christ, our regenerated heart, the principle of life that we've been given by God. And so the activity of our new man is everything that is in favor with God, is according to God and His Word. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says that, therefore, if any be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's the new man in us, Christ, as He has been given to us. In Ephesians 4, the passage that we read, we read this about that new man. Put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. At times it's hard to put into words what our old man is and what our new man is. But at the same time, it's something that we very much understand from our everyday experience. This old man, new man is the struggle that is within us. The activity of that old man is everything in us that wants to sin and walks in the ways of sin, and that new man and his activity is everything in us that looks to God in faith and that longs to do what is according to His Word. We understand what the old man, our sinful flesh, is, and we understand as well that life of Jesus Christ, that regenerated heart that has been given to us by God. Conversion, true conversion, daily conversion, as Lord's Day 33 makes clear, is a mortifying of the one and a quickening of the other. So let's look at those two parts of daily conversion. The first is a mortification of the old man. The Catechism uses that word mortification, and the language of Ephesians 4 is put off. Put off that old man of sin. Mortify that old man of sin. The Heidelberg Catechism could not have used a stronger word in this respect. Mortify him. To put it in different language, very simply, kill him. That old man rises up within us, and what God says to us this morning is take out your sword and slay that old man every single day and every time that old man rises up within you. Now, how do you do that? What does that mean to mortify him, kill that old man? And the Catechism gives a very good explanation of how we go forth mortifying the old man of sin. And that's question and answer 89. With respect to both mortifying and quickening, it involves an attitude and an action. It starts within us, and then it proceeds outside of us in what we do. Mortifying our old man involves a certain attitude, and the attitude that we must have is a sincere sorrow of heart, as the Catechism says, that we have provoked God by our sins. It's like so many other things. You're not going to get very far when all that you're concerned about is outward actions. That was the Pharisees in the New Testament. All they cared about was what they did on the outside. And they didn't care about their hearts. It all starts in the heart. And if we're going to kill this old man within us on a daily basis, it starts within us in our hearts. And the attitude that we must have in our hearts is a sincere sorrow over our sins, that we have provoked God by our sins, truly knowing that we are sinners. That's the attitude of our hearts. But then it goes further than that with a certain action. That attitude will flow into a certain way in which we live. And the way that we mortify that old man, as the Catechism says, is by more and more hating and fleeing from our sins. And so we take up the fight by going against those sins, doing what we have to stay away from them, to flee from them in everything that we do. That's the negative. Sorrow over sin, fleeing from those sins. Ephesians chapter 4 gives us a whole host of ways in which we can apply that to things that are very real for us in our lives. It's filled with applications with our everyday lives. One of the things that we're going to look at this morning in this respect is the use of our tongue, the way that we speak. What does the mortification of the old man look like with respect to the way in which we communicate? Notice that in Ephesians chapter 4, two times it talks about the use of our tongues. Verse 25 says, "Wherefore put away lying." And then verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Speaking is such a fundamental part of our lives. It's all we do. From the moment we wake up to the moment that we go to bed, our days are filled with speech. And so the Word of God has so much to say about the way in which we speak. What does mortification of the old man look like when it comes to this area of our lives? It means at the end of the day, when you reflect back on the day, in light of this, you acknowledge, this was true of me. There was corrupt communication that came out of my mouth. Children, think about, how did you speak on the playground during the day? How did you talk about your other classmates? How did you talk about your teachers? When your parents asked you questions during the day, did you tell them the truth? Or did you lie? And so at the end of the day, you look back on the day and you realize, I fell short in this regard. And mortifying that old man means that you're sorry for that. You know that was wrong. And you know that God is a God of truth. And God is a God of holiness. And therefore, by sinning in this way, we violated the commandments of God and we disgraced His name as God. So you have that sorrow over heart over that sin. And then the next day, what does mortification look like with respect to this sin? You think about these things. And when they rise up within you, and when your dad or mom asks you a question, and you know that you want to give a dishonest answer, you take out that sword and you kill that old man and you say, no, I'm not going to lie here, but I'm going to speak the truth. And in the narthex today, when you're talking with one another and the conversation turns to somebody else and you realize that this is going down a wrong path and you're speaking badly about somebody else, you take out that sword and you say, no, I'm going to kill that old man that is in me. I'm not going to walk in that way. You mortify him. You kill him. It's not easy. You're killing yourself, because that's who we are by nature. Our sinful flesh, and we love that flesh by nature. We love to do those things. It's not easy. It's painful. All killing is painful. But yeah, this is what we do with respect to true conversion. Mortify that old man. That's only part of it though. That's only half of the picture, and that's incomplete if that's the only thing that we do. Because it also involves, as the Catechism says, quickening the new man. As Ephesians 4 says, put on that new man. Whereas mortifying was killing, quickening very simply means to make alive, to develop, so that this new man is the one that is expressed by what we do and by how we live. Same thing as with respect to the old man. It's an attitude and it's an action. Question 90 gets to the heart. Quickening the new man is the sincere joy of heart in God, through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to His will. It's joy of heart. Quickening that new man is taking delight in the things of God, in the things of Jesus Christ, in the things of the kingdom of God. It's taking delight and joy in what really matters, the fact that we are members of His church and as such are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord's Day 1, that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts within, having that joy in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it goes forth and expresses itself in a certain action. And the positive action of quickening the new man is living according to the will and word of God in all good works. Question 91 then gets into what those good works are. We're not going to talk about that much this morning. We're going to reserve that possibly for a sermon in and of itself next week, or incorporate that into our treatment of the Ten Commandments as we take that up in the coming weeks. Good works, quickening the new man, walking in them, doing that which is according to God's commandments, out of a true faith and to the glory of God's name. It means that with respect to speaking, we take joy and delight not in lying, not in tearing each other down, not in being disrespectful to our teachers at school, but we take joy and delight in speaking the truth, of building one another up, of by the way that we speak, respecting our parents and our teachers in school. And then it takes the next step of actually doing that, of walking in the ways of God. That's just one area of our lives. But this process that we just talked about for 10 or 15 minutes here is something that we can apply to every single aspect of our lives. What does mortification of the old man and quickening of the new man mean for everything else that we do in our lives? What does it mean with respect to our marriage as a husband, in my relationship to my wife, to mortify that old man, to kill that selfishness, that pride, that stubbornness that is always rising up against me? And what does it mean to quicken that new man with respect to how I treat and how I deal with my wife? As an employer or an employee, what does it mean to go to work every single day and mortify that old man, that part of me that wants to cut edges in doing the work in the right way? Or to say that I worked an hour when it was only 45 minutes on this project or that project with respect to getting paid and all of the rest. And to quicken the new man of being honest, of working hard, of being fair to those that are under me. As a student in school, what does it mean to mortify that old man, to put down being lazy, of not caring about school, of messing around during class when the teacher is lecturing, and quickening that new man of doing what you're supposed to do as a student? Every aspect of our lives can be looked at in this respect, and maybe that's a good thing to do in this week. Tonight when you sit down for devotions or before you go to bed, look at your life and say to yourself, I'm going to take one area of my life for each day this week, and I'm going to ponder, what does it mean to do this with respect to that area of my life? You go throughout the week and you think about these things. It's too easy just to roll through the day and let that old man take control. God says to us, day by day, even hour by hour, kill that old man within us. But you're not going to do that in and of yourself and by your own strength. The only way to do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. The truth of the Reformed faith is that salvation from the very beginning to the very end is God's work. And it's true in this respect as well. It's God that elects us. It's God that regenerates us. We understand that. We're dead. And therefore, it's only God that can make us alive. It's God that justifies us. It's God that calls us. And it's God that sanctifies us. And this is what we're talking about today. Daily conversion is an aspect of our sanctification. And it's God that works in us the power to do that. Let's see that from the Scriptures this morning. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a passage that's filled with instruction concerning the flesh. That's one of the main ways in which the Bible talks about that old man of sin within us. And it says a lot about how we go forth fighting that old man and putting down that sinful flesh. The 13th verse of Romans chapter 8 says this, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live." The manner, the power of going forth in daily conversion is the Spirit that is in us. Paul says, don't live according to that flesh. Don't let that be the power that reigns in you. You have a new man in you, a regenerated heart. Live according to Him by the power of the Spirit that is in you. And this all flows from what we read in the first verse of Romans chapter 8. There is now therefore no condemnation which are to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Everything we're talking about today, beloved, is intimately related to Jesus Christ and the work that He does for us. Because understand that when Jesus Christ came to this earth and when He suffered and when He died, what He did was kill that old man that's in us. He took that old man, that sinful flesh of ours, and He nailed him to the cross and He destroyed that old man. And through His work, He's given us that new man, that life that is in us. And now it's true that the full realization of that won't take place until the day that we die. At that time, that old man will be stripped from us and thrown in the grave and be destroyed forever. And until then, we still have that sinful flesh. But because Christ did that, and because we have that new man in us, God says to us, that must be reflected in a life of sanctification. It has to come forth in the way that you live. You go forth, not in the power of that old man, but in the power of the new man by the Spirit that is in you. This is not something that we can do in and of ourselves. That flesh of ours doesn't get any better. That sinful man will never reform. It's the new man, it's the Spirit, it's Christ that works this in us. But He does so through the use of means. It's not the case that we just sit here and God just does this to us. No, God says, I'm the power in you to do this, but I'm going to work through certain things. And one of the great means that God uses to work this daily conversion in us is right here. It's the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit always works in the closest connection with the Word of God. And it's this that serves through the means through which the power of the Spirit comes forth. And there's good reason for that. There's very good reason that it's the Scriptures through which the Spirit works. Because it's the Word of God that does exactly what we talked about with these aspects of conversion. It's the Word of God that does these four things that we talked about. Sorrow over sin. You go to the Scriptures and you read about who God is, His holiness, His truth, and all the rest. And you read about all of the sins that are found in the Scriptures and what sin is all about. When you read that, what takes place is exactly what the Catechism says, a sorrow over that sins, those sins. It's the Scriptures that, in a very real way, lead us to have this sorrow over sin. And then the next thing that we talked about, fleeing from those sins, fighting against those sins. What's the weapon? What's the tool God gives us? It's His Word. It says to us, my people, this is how you go forth fighting sin. This is what you must do. Daily in the Word equips us to fight against those sins. And then we get to the positive side of quickening the new man. Where does this joy come from? Joy in God, joy in Christ. It comes from this every single day when we read the Word of God, when we hear it preached on the Lord's Day. We realize all of our sins are forgiven. And that leads us to rejoice in the Lord. And then that fourth thing that we talked about, walking according to God's Word in all good works. Well, it's right here. Here is that Word that lays out for us His commandments and the good works in which we are to walk. Sorrow over sin, fighting sin, joy in the gospel, walking according to God's commandments, all takes place by the power of the Spirit through the use of His Word. Ephesians 4, very strikingly, says in verse 30, right after this whole talk about putting off the old, putting on the new, says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that we have some control over the Spirit. But we understand that in light of the point that we just made. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we put the Scriptures away, when we don't come to church, or when we don't come in the right way, knowing this is how the Spirit works. Let's fill our lives with His Word so that day by day we can mortify that old man and quicken that new man. I think one of the helpful ways to look at this is to remember that we're going to have the old man and new man in us until the day that we die. The old man is not going to go away in our lives here on this earth. That's why God says to us, this is what you must do every single day. The question that we have to ask ourselves is this. Understanding that they're both going to be there and that we're called to live out of the power of the new man. The question we ask ourselves is this. Am I going to do what feeds and exercises and strengthens that old man? Or am I going to go forth doing the things that feed and exercise and strengthen that new man? You look at your life, and what I am doing, is that feeding into the old man, just encouraging that old man, strengthening that old man? Or am I doing the things that feed into and encourage and strengthen the manifestation of the new man in me? If I struggle with anger, bitterness, do I feed that old man by always thinking about all of those sins that were committed against me in the past? Always thinking about them, always bringing them up, so that in turn all it does is lead me to be more angry and more bitter? If I'm struggling with sexual sins, do I feed that by watching the movies, by putting myself in a position to look at all of the stuff on the internet and all of the rest? What am I doing? Is it feeding into the power of that old man? Or is what I am doing feeding into and strengthening and exercising that new man? And the point that we just made with respect to His Word is exactly that which helps us in the latter. And there's so many other ways as well. If we're going to go forth in daily conversion, let's do that. Let's make sure that we use the means God has given us to mortify that old man and quicken the new man. And beloved, we have every reason to do that. And the reason, very simply, goes back to the third point of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is gratitude to God. Why do we put up with this every day? And beloved, this is not easy. Of course not. This is tiresome. This is frustrating at times. This is very, very difficult. It's battle every single day. But why are we going to do that? And why are we going to pray for strength every day to do that? Because of this. Because God has saved us. And God has given us the greatest thing in all of the world, which is salvation. And really, everything that we talked about gives us the reason to go forth in daily conversion. That old man that we fight against, that old man, if left to ourselves, would put us in hell for eternity, has been destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He took that old man and He nailed him to the cross so that the sins of that old man will not be punished by us. That right there, beloved, just thinking about that leads us to go forth in gratitude to God. And God says to us, out of thanks for what I have done for you, show that I have worked in you by fighting the good fight of faith every single day. Gratitude, people of God, gratitude leads us in this way. And the great blessing of this is, number one, assurance. Assurance of our salvation from the fact that we have this battle in us. As I said earlier, the old man will be with us until the day that we die, and so assurance of our salvation does not come from thinking that we're going to be more holy or we're never going to have these sinful desires. Of course not. They're always going to be there because of that old man. The assurance of our salvation comes from this. Am I pulling out the sword every single day? Am I fighting that old man? Am I striving to put him to death every single day? That battle is exactly the indication that God has converted you. And if God has converted you, that means He has saved you. This activity of daily conversion affords us the great blessing of assurance of our salvation. And we end with this. The other great blessing is hope. Hope that one day we won't have to do this anymore. Hope that one day when we go to heaven and that old man is stripped away from us and thrown in the grave and hell itself, we won't have to fight anymore. This daily battle, as I said a moment ago, is so hard. And it leads us to long for that day when with perfection we serve our Father in heaven. And so as you go forth in this battle, as we are called to do so, always go forth with one eye on heaven, mortifying the old man, quickening the new man. Amen.